Good Omens, the nice and accurate prophecies of Agnes Nutter, Witch, by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. Dedication. The authors would like to join the demon Crowley in dedicating this book to the memory of G.K. Chesterton, a man who knew what was going on. In the beginning, it was a nice day. All of the days had been nice. There had been rather more than 7 of them so far, and rain hadn't been invented yet. But the clouds massing east of Eden suggested that the first thunderstorm was on its way, and it was going to be a big one. The angel of the eastern gate put his wings over his head to shield himself from the first drops. "I'm sorry," he said politely. "What was it you were saying?" "I said..." "That one went down like a lead balloon," said the serpent. "Oh, yes," said the angel, whose name was Azrafel. "I think it was a bit of an overreaction, to be honest," said the serpent. "I mean, first offense and everything. I can't see what's so bad about knowing the difference between good and evil, anyway." "It must be bad," reasoned Azrafel, in the slightly concerned tones of one who can't see it either and is worrying about it. "Otherwise, you wouldn't have been involved." "They just said, get up there and make some trouble," said the serpent, whose name was Crowley, although he was thinking of changing it now. Crowley, he decided, definitely was not him. "Yes, but you're a demon. I'm not sure if it's actually possible for you to do good," said Azrafel. "It's down to your basic, you know, nature. Nothing personal, you understand." "You've got to admit it's a bit of a pantomime, though," said Crowley. "I mean, pointing out the tree and saying, 'Don't touch,' in big letters? Not very subtle, is it? I mean, why not put it on top of a high mountain or a long way off? Makes you wonder what he's really planning." "Best not to speculate, really," said Azrafel. "You can't second-guess ineffability, I always say. There's right and there's wrong. If you do wrong when you're told to do right, you deserve to be punished. They sat in embarrassed silence, watching the raindrops bruise the first flowers. Eventually Crowley said, "Didn't you have a flaming sword?" Said the angel. A guilty expression passed across his face, then came back and camped there. "You did, didn't you?" said Crowley. "It flamed like anything." Okay, that's our inaugural reading from Good Omens.
All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of This Conversation Rocks.
This is Diane from Alaska.
And Todd, still in Los Angeles.
Right. I talked to somebody from LA today, and she was actually saying it was really nice to be in LA. So, rural red Alaska is kind of a challenging place right now.
I don't even want to imagine. yes, this is the post-election fucking hangover episode.
And we decided to start it with Good Omens because really it's a story about an angel and a demon trying to avert the apocalypse, which feels really appropriate right about now.
Oh, and it's a hell of a story.
And it's a hell of a story. So, how you doing?
I'm actually doing okay. I had a pretty significant meltdown on Tuesday night, as did many of us, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I drank way too much, yelled at the television, explained to my wife how Armageddon is now upon us, and went to bed.
Except you,
my wife quite confused by what the hell I was talking about.
You and I are going to work to avert Armageddon, though. Kind of Azrafel and Crowley.
Well, you know, and I woke up on Wednesday and said, okay, you know, it is what it is. Let's get going. How about you?
Well, I have to admit, there's been a lot of crying. I actually, for the first time in over a decade, did not stay up for election returns. I realized which way it was going, turned off the TV, and went to bed weeping, leaving my husband unsurprised and my niece, God bless her soul, a little bit befuddled. And then got up, turned on the news, lasted about 30 seconds the following morning, and promptly started bawling again. So I've been kind of fluctuating between anger, bawling, paralysis, and wanting to find something really productive to do with myself and my energy.
Well, good, because I think we're going to come up with some productive stuff.
Yeah. I've got some personal stuff in mind, and I know we're going to talk about the personal and the meta concept later on. And, I think that we're going to head in the right direction.
It's been a week and a half, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of having a hangover.
I am too. I'm tired of feeling paralyzed. I'm feeling less paralyzed today. I actually had an incredibly good session with my Buddhist teacher, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, who lives in LA. And it was really interesting. You know, I asked her if she... We actually spent a fair amount of time doing some work around the election outcomes. And I asked her if she had been doing a lot of that with her students. And she said, you know, she's a woman of color. She said, people of color are not shocked. This is the way that they have lived. But, you know, and it was a good gut check for me, right? Because she said, this is the way we've lived for decades, centuries. Yeah, yeah. You know, this is the only reality we've ever known. So this is just something that is our reality that's now exposed. But she said her white liberal friends are reacting pretty much the way I've been reacting, which I thought also was a good measure, a good gut check.
Yeah, do not mistake my lack of ranting and raving at this point for anything.
No. And I just think that it was a good point, and it was a point to me that it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to be sad, and it's okay to react the way I've been reacting because it's just my reality. But it's also time to shake it off. It's time to go, okay, I've been paralyzed by grief, but now I got to get my ass in gear.
So let's just quickly run it down. This is where we're starting.
This is the grief part, right?
Right. We no longer have any shot at a liberal Supreme Court.
Terrifying.
We do not have control of the Senate.
We did not regain control of the House, which was unlikely anyway.
Right. Yeah. We've elected probably the worst guy I can think of on the planet to be the president of the United States. So there's that.
A racist, demagogic, misogynistic Cheeto.
Now going to stack his cabinet
with his children.
Children, apparently, no. But, you know, with other racist, misogynistic, white supremacist shitheads. So, yeah, we're at the bottom.
I'm actually pretty sure that, you know, there's completely a place for the Trumps, plural, and Steve Bannon in the cabinet. I'm sure. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You know, so, yeah, we're at bottom.
We are really at bottom.
Or, you know, as John Oliver was pointing out, you know, remember 2 weeks ago when I said we were at bottom? Well, look up. You see that way up there?
Now that's where we were.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, John Oliver, I just have to say his fuck 2016 closing was a piece of classic television. It will live on forever.
Yeah, yeah, and this is where we're all headed, right? You know, fuck 2016.
Right.
Not a good year. Not a good year. And I mean, you know, I'm worried. Everybody's worried, you know. For the first time in my life, though, I'm really actually kind of worried about how bad this can get versus theoretically thinking that, you know, Bush was a bad choice until it turned out to be true.
You know,
going in, this is a bad choice.
I think grieving, in the interest of grieving and get it all out in full disclosure, that's the place where I'm at. I'm at a big place of worry. It's hard for me to be at a place of anger. It kind of comes and goes, but I don't stay there. But I think about, oh my gosh, I think about my gay friends. I think about my nieces who are mixed race. I think about women who are going to be denied health care. I think about people who are going to lose health care benefits because the ACA and Medicare and Medicaid are going to be dismantled. That's the stuff that scares me.
Oh, yeah.
You
Yeah.
know?
If you're a human being, you're in big fucking trouble.
Right. Unless you're rich and white, then you're
Right. But
cool.
if you're rich and white, you're probably not listening to us.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we don't have that demographic.
Wait a minute. Who's that one white billionaire that said he's going to fight Trump with everything we've got? We've got to get on his radar.
No doubt. Is that Soros?
No, it was actually some young dude. I'll have to look up his name. I can't remember who it was.
This is a travesty, far beyond anything I could have ever imagined, having gone through far too many bad administrations already.
You know,
I did
and
not imagine that this was actually a
possible.
reality.
I know.
But it was like we were talking the last time we were podcasting, and you mentioned the anger thing, right? And let me be clear, all my anger is reserved for Hillary Clinton. It was hers to lose. And she completely fucked this up.
All of it, really? Because
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it could be spread a little wider. I think it could be spread to the entire Democratic Party, or nearly the entire Democratic Party, because we were so complacent and so sure, so absolutely sure going into Tuesday that it was going to be ours. And I say we and us and ours in the general sense, not so much you because you predicted it, not so much me because I was terrified of it, but begging you not to say it.
Well, the Democratic Party's got obviously gonna have to get their act together, and I have nothing but disdain for them at the moment. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but at the end of the day, it was her,
I just can't pile it all on her shoulders. I can't. I think there are so many people and so many systems and institutions to blame.
but the Democratic National Committee. Basically, been a group of her appointees. I mean, it's just everybody was on board to make this happen, right? And it all goes back, if you want to be president, you get to bear the brunt of all of it. Everything is, at the end of the day, your fault. And I don't want to dilute this, She fucked this up, and it's going to cost the rest of us. She'll be fine. Her and Bill are fucking filthy rich, and they're not listening to this podcast. No, they will be just fine. Chelsea will be just fine, but the rest of us, we're gonna suffer because she fucked up. She fucked up bad.
I don't think she fucked up by herself. That's the one place that I have to go. I mean, I look at the emails, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the person who was saying, "Let's fuck Bernie. Let's set Bernie
Who
up
is
to lose." Who was
Right,
it?
but
Who
then.
was an FOH, right? A friend of Hillary. I know that. But I just don't feel like it can all be landed squarely on Hillary Clinton's shoulders. I mean, the entire Democratic apparatus aligned itself to make her the imperfect nominee.
Or she's been aligning the Democratic apparatus for 16 years.
Well, now I can't completely discount that.
Her and Bill have been instrumental to the fundraising, everything. A lot of people who got on board with this for a variety of reasons, they were all wrong to do it too. I'm not saying otherwise, but at the end of the day, all she had to do was beat Donald fucking Trump. Right? That was her job. And, whether or not the Democratic National Committee fucked up or whether or not the Democrats should have nominated her or anything, it's like, she could not beat Donald Trump.
Well, and you know what's really interesting is I know you're saying she can't beat, couldn't beat Donald Trump, but interestingly enough, what I'm also hearing is she couldn't be Donald Trump. And I've listened to a fair, not nearly as much media as I usually consume, but there's been some analysis on some of the podcasts that I like, and Donald Trump, for better or for worse, had a way of reaching people that Hillary Clinton simply did not have. So I think not only was she unable to beat him, but she was unable to be him, which is both scary and a good point.
At any rate, her dynasty is over. The Clintons will never hold office of any significant value ever
Absolutely.
again.
Although there is some discussion that Chelsea may be running for the Senate in New York. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually comes to pass.
Well, she may very well win, but you know what? We're done with the Clintons, just like we've been done with the Kennedys for a long time.
Right.
Let's
And please God, let us be done with the Bushes.
We're done with the Bushes. Jeb proved that that thing was that there were the nails were already in the coffin.
Don't know, it could
And the
always come back.
can, but and I'm never gonna say never because, you know, God knows I said that there was no way that Donald Trump could ever be president. You know, so
So, how
the
did we
only
get?
thing
Okay, go ahead. The only thing.
the only thing that this election has taught me is that once again, any thoughts I have about my ability to predict the future are completely delusional.
So, how did we get here? I mean, I do think it was a series of missteps, stumbles, and gross misconduct and negligence on the part of the Democratic Party. I also think the
Well,
media is complicit.
yeah, but at the end of the day, she didn't have a package that people wanted, or not enough people wanted, right? You know, turnout in the categories that normally support the Democrats was low.
Right, and she did not get the Obama coalition. I know that.
Oh, you know, but here's the thing that I saw that really was interesting. When you look at job growth, right? Highly skilled jobs, we've been recovering really well. On the other end, low wage jobs have been recovering really well. But the number of the jobs in the middle, you
Right, the
know,
middle class.
those, well, you know, so this is interesting because, of course, I consider myself middle class.
Right. Well, those of us who consider ourselves middle class aren't necessarily always middle class, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm nowhere near, I mean, you know, you
Right.
can look at the numbers, I'm nowhere near the upper class. But,
And neither
yeah.
one of us lives in abject poverty either, so.
Right, you know, so those jobs far worse than I ever looked at or understood, right? So, you know, I get it where all these people are coming from. They're wrong, in my opinion. This guy is no Messiah, and he's not going to deliver. He is not going to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. He is not going to do that. Oh, he's going to whine and moan, and he's even probably going to get us into a trade war, which will result some really negative economic repercussions.
Right, an even worse economy than what people think we have right now, anyway.
Right. But those jobs aren't coming back. And even
Right.
if they do come back, they're automated. We don't need people to do this stuff anymore. Machines do it. And if we want to insist on paying $15 an hour, machines become more and more the right answer for businesses.
So not only do all of the people who voted for him in hopes of having their situation improved, and we're really talking about a lot of people with poor education and difficult economic situations, although not entirely. Who else loses? I mean, the environment loses.
Oh, everybody loses, man. Freedom is gonna lose. Civil liberties, all of it's gonna lose. Yeah.
Absolutely.
One of the things that's very obvious, right? The cabinet guys that he's gonna put together, the cabinet he's gonna put together, mostly buffoons, really. And part of the reason is that no self-respecting Republican wants anything to do with this. The normal bureaucrat operators. You know, both sides have them, right? The people who end up filling cabinet positions and stuff, right? Smart technocrats. They're like, yeah, no, not interested in the job. Don't want it.
So I do find that there have been some interesting things in my limited consumption of media over the past couple of days. So there was a big announcement today that Mitt Romney is now being considered for Secretary of State, which I'm just wondering where the Mitt who protested very, very loudly went.
Well, yeah, but
You know, Ted Cruz had a wonderful meeting with him and is very much looking forward to working with him in his new office as president. And I'm wondering where the Ted Cruz who said, "Vote your conscience," went.
Yeah, so once again, we're calling you guys out as a bunch of pussies.
Right. But there are plenty of Dem I shouldn't say plenty of Democrats, but there are Democrats who are doing the same thing. Oh, well, you know, we're going to do the best we can to work with him. No, don't fucking normalize this. This is not normal. Electing someone who hates and electing someone who wants to have Steve Bannon as his fucking what, chief of staff? I can't even remember what
Not chief of staff.
Reince
It's
Pri or Reince Priebus is chief of staff,
yeah,
right?
right.
Here we go. I'm going to be slaughtering that name for the next 4 years, darn.
Yeah, I feel so bad about that, but because nothing says middle class American support like Reince Priebus.
Right? Nothing says I'm on your side like Reince Priebus.
Yeah, so, but I mean, if you're looking at Ted Cruz for your cabinet, you don't have a lot of good options. And you know that you don't have a lot of good options, and that's why you're looking at Ted Cruz. If you're looking at Giuliani, right, because Giuliani's being floated as Secretary of State as
Right.
well. Like,
Horrifying.
yeah, again, you don't have any real options, do you? Because the real people are like, fuck you, I'm not getting involved in this train wreck.
Okay, but the best one, and of course I have to share this as an Alaskan, is fucking Sarah Palin as Secretary of the Interior. Are you kidding me?
I've seen that, but I'm not entirely convinced.
I'm not entirely convinced, but it is being floated. I sure as hell hope he manages to wiggle out of that one, but.
Or not, right? Maybe, fuck it.
Well, and that's another place where I think we're looking at how did we get here. I mean, there definitely are some people who just wanted to burn the fucking house down.
Well, and to enrich themselves.
Well,
Yeah.
no, but I'm talking about people who didn't gain from their vote by, you know, having some sort of financial stake in this, or, you know, people who didn't have any financial stake, right? People who just voted for the sake of burning the house down. There were a lot of people who voted that way.
Okay, I find that hard to believe, and the reason is that I ultimately believe that people do what they see to be in their self-interest. Burning the house down is not in their self-interest. Their
Well,
self-interest might not have been any more than, I think Hillary is going to kill us, because she's been murdering people for years or whatever, right? But honestly, I don't think any large number of people would have voted to burn the house down.
you know, I'm pointing fingers, okay? And I'm stereotyping, but again, I look at the white, poorly educated, financially challenged, but also, quite frankly, a lot of people who, I mean, and I saw this at the Alaska caucus when I attended it. People who were like, if it's not Bernie, fuck it. I'm just gonna burn the house down.
Oh, sure, but those are words. Said at the moment, if they weren't smart, if they weren't smart enough to figure out their self-interest, well, then fuck them. God, they deserved.
Except, you know, we can say fuck 'em, but they just helped direct our country for the next 4 years. Minimum the next 4 years. And
I
for
agree.
generations, if we're talking about the Supreme Court.
But again, it comes down to Dems, the left, the liberals, all of us, right? We failed to make a convincing argument.
And I think, quite honestly, we failed, some of us failed to see it coming. Because, you know, you, like I said, the last time we talked, you were like, nope, it's over. She's gonna lose. And I was like, no way. Don't say that. I totally didn't see it coming. I was scared. I was scared that it was gonna happen. But in the end, I thought, nah, we're fine. Look at the polls. Look at people like Nate Silver. Look at the research
You want
folks
to
at.
know why I'm so mad? You
What was that?
want to know why I'm so mad at her?
Why?
Because in 1992, Bill Clinton ran on the platform of "It's the economy, stupid." There it is. Simple, right?
Yeah.
It's the economy. You were there, Hillary. The fuck?
Well, you know, and
Was
I've
it
got.
so hard? Was it so hard to duplicate that fucking success? I mean, who the fuck did you guys hire as your campaign people? Bunch of idiots. Jesus.
Well, and I've
Did
got
you
to
hire
say.
the same guys who got blown out by Obama 8 years ago? Because I'm betting you did.
And I have to say, really honestly, that some of the analysis that I've seen is, you know, that there are Trump voters out there who are like, you know, I voted for him not because he's a racist, not because he's a misogynist. That stuff wasn't even important to me. It's because he understands the economy. Now, do I think those people made an informed choice? Hell no, but I think it really does show that it is the economy, stupid.
Yeah. Gotta be honest. She would have been a horrible fucking president, apparently, because she didn't know that.
Right, so let's get off the cross, man. We need the wood. Let's get off the cross.
Absolutely.
So what's the silver lining? I mean, we did talk
Well, it's.
about there's got to be some silver lining somewhere, right?
There's very few, but let's get down to it, right? I mean, first and foremost, Harry Reid retired, so he's out, and Chuck Schumer is going to be the Democratic leader of the Senate. I think this is a huge thing for the Democrats, because Harry Reid was a horrible Senate leader. Just didn't do anything. Chuck Schumer has a reputation for, throwing bombs, so I'm incredibly happy about that. And I just read today that somebody's challenging Nancy Pelosi for the leadership, Democratic leadership in the House. And I think that that would be great. And we're going to talk about this in the third part about, what people can do. But right now, first action item that we should all be doing is writing to our House representatives that are Democrats and urging them strongly to support somebody other than Pelosi, because she's been horrible. She's raised a lot of money for him, and that's why she keeps getting the job. And I'm not saying otherwise. Raising money is not a bad thing. It's part of what has to happen. But she does not have the leadership skills that we need now.
Well, and I want to say that the guy who is positioning himself to run against her is, I don't remember his name for the love of God, but he is from an area that in Ohio that went largely for Trump. So, you know, he could bring some insight that we currently don't have.
Yeah, in the end, I'm afraid that we got kicked in the balls because just hanging out in our liberal enclaves.
Well, you know, there's some truth to that too. There really is. I especially since the election, I've realized that while I really don't want to be the girl who only talks to people who agree with her, I'm also less and less comfortable right now talking with people who disagree because the rhetoric is so ugly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, back to silver
Well,
linings.
yeah, let's kind of there's not too many of these, so we'll go ahead and run. What do you got?
Well, so I brought up, and we kind of agreed that the fact that the filibuster did not get pitched when the Democrats had an opportunity to get rid of the filibuster was a blessing in disguise because now we're desperately going to need to be able to filibuster things that we want to prevent.
And more importantly, Lindsey Graham has come out and said that he has no interest in changing the way the filibuster works.
And I have to tell you, and I mean, we talked about this before we got on air. I never thought I would be so grateful to Lindsey Graham, but he actually has been a little bit of a bright spot throughout this whole election.
Well, I would just like to say to Lindsey that, you're welcome on our side if you just want to.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Because Lindsey, just kind of quick momentary thing. Republican Party doesn't support you anymore, man. Just
No.
saying.
Or represent you, or share your values, or yeah, kind of all those things.
All those things. So come on over to our side. We will welcome you with open arms. And so we got that. I've got to say that it's silver lining, not necessarily that, but and I don't mean the humor of it, although there has been some humor in it as well. But it's important to understand that an administration, the best indicator of how an administration works, going to work, is how the campaign was run. And we can see from the transition that they are still in complete disarray, which may end up being the best thing we've got going for us for the next 4 years, is this continual disarray.
Yeah, I mean, silver lining, they may fumble the ball so badly, there's no way that the team can recover.
Well, mostly what I expect, and though I hope for what you're saying, obviously, but mostly what I'm expecting is just that there's just going to be this revolving door of, yep, this is my Secretary of State. Ah, fuck that guy. He's out. This is my new Secretary of State. Oh, fuck her. Get her the fuck out of here. You're fired, Right? And I mean,
We
I can
certainly
see
did see
that.
that with the campaign. I mean, how many changes in leadership did they go through?
Right. And the thing is that when you're campaigning, that was kind of a problem. But now when you're trying to lead, it's a huge problem if nobody can actually manage the bureaucracy, which is the executive branch of the United States.
Right.
And there are a handful of appointed jobs in the executive branch as compared to a number of professional jobs, bureaucratic jobs. And those people are still here, administration in, administration out. The lack of leadership at the top is going to be telling. They're going to try to straighten themselves out and everything, but I'm not convinced that these guys actually have the skill sets required to manage this operation. And I think there'll just be a lot of. I also love the fact that, Christie basically got forced out because when he was a state attorney general, prosecuted Kushner's father.
Right.
So there's clearly a lot of vendetta shit going on here.
Well, and we have known, those of us who've been paying attention, that that's the way Donald Trump has operated for years. So no one should be surprised by that. And to be surprised that his family members behave the same way, people shouldn't be surprised by that.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? 4 years from now, things will either be better or they'll be worse. And while I think that they're going to be worse, I'm open to them being better. But I'm pretty sure they're going to be worse. And if I'm fucking wrong, right, and it turns out that things are better and this guy is a fucking genius, I will admit to the fact that I'm wrong. Just don't expect that outcome to be true. Okay, I mean, I'm just saying, right?
Okay, so another silver lining, and I said this to you before we came on, people have woken the fuck up. I think there are some of us who will never close our eyes again, and I think that's good. I don't like being afraid, I don't like being worried, but if this is what it takes to get people more engaged, then I can't say I'm comfortable with the price we had to pay, but I'm comfortable with that be as being an outcome.
Yeah. I woke up Wednesday morning and it was just like, you know what? It's time to be serious.
Can I just tell you, damn, either connectivity is bad in LA tonight or the NSA really is watching our asses.
So hopefully this bug okay, but yeah, I'm pretty sure we're being dialed in by the NSA. Just kidding. Because it's so silver lining, Clapper announced that he was going to step down.
Right, but not so silver lining. Apparently, it did get offered to Michael Flynn today.
Who is Michael Flynn?
He is a rabid general. I can't remember how many stars he does or does not have, who was one of the people who led the lock her up chants at various
Oh,
rallies.
so he. All right, so he's from Doctor Strangelove. Got it.
Right.
We'll need to edit some Doctor Strangelove dialogue in right here. Basically, Slim Pickens,
That's
Slim.
exactly what I was thinking. Woo-hoo!
Yeah. I'm gonna have fun editing this one. And then silver lining, final silver lining that I have is this. These guys have so overpromised, and they are not going to be able to deliver on a lot of their promises. They're going to be able to deliver on many, some of which are really going to fucking hurt us, and I know that. But in the end, they're still not going to be able to feed enough red meat to their masses.
Yeah, I don't have any other silver linings.
And because this is grim, I mean, I'm not fucking around. This is grim. We may be laughing or anything, but it's fucking grim. So let's talk about what we're gonna do
So
now we're in Louisiana.
you wanted to talk a little bit first about where the podcast is gonna go. So I'm gonna hand that over to you.
Well, what we're looking at doing is becoming more activists. As I alluded to here just a few minutes ago, we have an opportunity to start weighing in on issues and everything, and we're going to try to be a resource each time we podcast, which I think we're also going to get a little more serious about making it on a more regular basis.
And it looks like it's going to be bi-weekly, bi-weekly, bi-monthly,
Bi-monthly.
twice a month based on schedules.
I want to focus on given issue, and then giving people you can call, people you can reach out to. If you can donate money, please donate money to the cause, which isn't us. We don't want your money. But we sure would help sure as hell would appreciate it if you gave your money to ACLU, Planned Parenthood, anybody who's needs our help, all of our help.
I'm going to share a general list today before we finish up. I also kind of wanted to talk about where I see some of my personal energy going. So I kind of jokingly asked in a couple of the Facebook groups that are going on right now. You've probably heard of Pantsuit Nation. Which is, it started out as a good thing, and now basically it's just still people being in the dumps. And I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to hang in there. Nasty Women for a Better World. Just people trying to figure out how to process and channel. But I did ask a serious question about what kind of skills do you have that you're going to develop for the next 4 years? How are you going to help people with your skills over the next 4 years? And, my answer for myself was I'm a healthcare provider first and foremost, and there are skills that I have that can be used for people who lose access to care, for women who lose access to reproductive care. There are things that I can do as a professional that will help people who are going to suffer under this administration. So I would challenge people, our listeners, to think about what they can do with their energy, with their bodies, not with a wallet, but what they can do to develop skills that are going to be helpful in 4 very dark years.
But I'm gonna go back to it. If your skill set is your wallet, feel free to use that as well.
I'm not diminishing that at all, but for people who may not have that as a resource, or for people who have other things that they can do, I mean, by all means, if you can use your wallet and your skill set, absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, we're gonna get into a whole lot of things hopefully in the coming year. I'll pitch in and help out a little bit. So we're going to be updating the website. I'm working on that. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, but maybe a little bit after that. If there's anybody out there who would like to draw our logo for us, we're looking for a new logo.
And Kirk, if you listen, it's not because I don't love what you drew for us. It's just time to kind of update the face a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, because by the way, go out and buy Kirk Manley's products. He's a great artist.
He
Good comic.
and Jeff, gosh, Jeff Marsick do Z Girl together, which is a great comic book.
Yeah, if you like zombies, go check these guys out.
Yeah, they're
And
awesome.
they're great.
But yeah, if there's somebody out there who's interested in doing some logo work for us, that's a skill set that we would take advantage of. But we're talking about doing bigger things than just helping our little podcast out.
Right, yeah, this is, let's see, what else? What else? Oh, so part of what we were wanted to talk about tonight, though, in this final act was, what can you do for yourself personally too? And I got to be honest, I've been off of Facebook since just before my birthday, back in October.
I have been
Probably never going back.
really.
Yeah, I might, but I'll have to really think about it. But because I love all my friends, but there are other ways for me to stay in contact with my really good friends. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a really good friend of mine.
See, I have gained friendships on Facebook that would not have happened had it not been for Facebook. But
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm being a lot more circumspect about how I spend my time. Like today, I had a really great session with my Buddhist teacher, and she said to me, "Do not go back on social media today." And so, aside from checking a couple of messages from an activist group, I have not been on social media, and I'm trying to be very careful about that. I'm also trying to be careful about angry media. Like, I listen to the Majority Report sometimes. Could not listen. It was so nasty. I haven't listened to the Young Turks. I'm not trying to look for things that normalize this new administration, but I'm trying to look for things that make sense of where we're going without a lot of screeching.
Right. There's no point in wringing our hands, gnashing our teeth, rending our garments. The horse is out of the barn,
And all this stuff about, tell the Electoral College to vote the right way. Guys, that's I this is my
That's a pipe
personal
dream, but it's
yeah.
awesome. It's an awesome thought, but it's a pipe dream.
It's my personal opinion and take it for what it's worth, but I just don't think that's a good place to direct your energy right now. Now, working toward abolishing the Electoral College, hell yeah, but telling them to do right in this election, it's done, guys. It's just done.
Done because the electors are actually appointed by the campaigns. People going to Washington are going to vote for Trump. I mean, it's just the way the system is designed now. And unfortunately, what we need is the Republicans to lose a couple in the Electoral College, and then maybe we can get rid of this thing. But right now, the Republicans who control everything have no incentive to get rid of it because it's played to them twice.
Other stuff that I wanted to talk about, pacing yourself. This is 4 years, guys. So if you burn through all of your energy and all of your desire to do something good right now, that's gonna leave us with, 3 years and 11 months of people being too fried to do anything, and we can't afford that.
I think part of, and we're going to be changing this up ourselves, right? But I think things like fuck that guy and stuff are probably done. Just yelling at people for talk about what we can do, what they've done.
I
Although
do.
I'm sure we'll find the occasional guy, but we shouldn't be able to just do it every 2 weeks. We should really have to work at it to get somebody on that list.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if it would be a never-ending episode of Fuck That Guy if we go with it right now. So I agree. I mean, we definitely have to look at just look at better places to expend our energy.
Right. And we hope, dear listeners, that you guys will stick with us as we kind of sort this out and try to get something going here again.
I mean,
But
please don't think we're going to be without humor, because that is something I think that keeps both of us going. And I definitely still want to do our one-offs that have little to nothing to do with politics, although we both agree that everything goes back to politics.
absolutely, but I mean the thing is that even our one-offs, right, there are things that we can ask people to do, things our listeners can do. Let's
Another.
just everybody get involved. And we're not looking for big things from any, but we're going to get up on the website, who you can contact for the Democratic Congress right now to urge them to seriously consider replacing Nancy Pelosi in the House
Yeah.
as the leader.
Well, and you know, something else I wanted to say that was really valuable from my lesson today is that it's okay to be sad, it's okay to grieve, and you have to give yourself permission to do that, but don't let it paralyze you. You know, and know that when you are feeling that grief, you are tapping into something really real that a lot of other people are experiencing. But again, you know, recognize it for what it is, make space for it, but don't let it paralyze you.
Fuck all this, right? Plan for the worst.
Right,
Plan for the fucking worst.
you know, which is part of developing your skills, whatever they are. Developing and not just your skills for helping other people, but quite frankly, your skills for taking care of yourself. And you know,
Yeah.
I sound like kind of a paranoid survivalist when I say stuff like that, but you know, I feel lucky. I know how to do things that some people don't know how to do. I know how to make clothing. I know how to raise an animal. I know how to fish. I'm not a big hunter, but I can hunt. I mean, yeah, that's not realistic for people who live in a lot of urban areas, but looking at ways that you can take care of yourself and your families over the next 4 years too, because Todd, I think you're right. I mean, I think we do need to hope for the best or prepare for the worst.
I just don't want to be surprised again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this is the end of the world. It's not Armageddon, although we may have used that term. The
Yep.
world did not actually end, and it will not actually end. We all believe it'll be bad. As I said earlier, though, I want to be fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that I am wrong, I will, pony up on that and everything. I just don't see how I am wrong. Where I'm going with that is that I don't want to just dig my heels in and be partisan about the whole thing either. Let's work on the stuff that we can work on.
You know, I'm all about working on the stuff we can work on, but I just want to say to people, don't ever normalize this. The media is trying to do it. There are people on both sides of the aisle that are trying to do it, and this is not a normal election. This is not a normal outcome. This is not acceptable. So I'm digging my heels in there.
Not acceptable to a majority of the people because it's clear that the majority did vote. However, comma.
It's just, for me, it's just not acceptable to normalize somebody who trucks in racism, misogyny, hate of any kind. It's not okay. It's not
I
normal.
completely agree with you. Completely.
So, anything else you want to say on this part?
No, other than just, love each other, take care of each other, as corny as that sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, be present and, be present with the people you're dealing with and do your best.
I
We're all,
did.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I did want to give a list of some places to look for expending money and energy right now, and I will share this on the website. So this is an article from Jezebel.com, and it's a list of pro-woman, pro-immigrant, pro-earth, anti-big corporation groups. And I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm just going to pick a few. So Todd mentioned the ACLU. They work to
Because we're
defend,
going to need them.
yeah, we are. And they specifically work to defend both individual rights and liberties guaranteed by the Constitution.
Constitutional law, that's what they're all about.
I think we all really need to think about the Anti-Defamation League. It was founded in 1913 to stop the defamation of Jewish people, but today it fights not just anti-Semitism, but bigotry, and it's a huge civil rights organization. Planned Parenthood, Center for Reproductive Rights, Disability Rights and Education Defense Fund, Lambda Legal, which is a group that guarantees the shouldn't I shouldn't say guarantees, they fight for civil rights for LGBT people. I sent some money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are monitoring and acting on cases of hate crimes. They monitor hate groups. They're very important. There's been a huge surge in reporting of hate crimes since the election. So I just think that organizations like that are going to be incredibly important. And I will share this because they have a pretty extensive list of groups that people can work with, both energy and money. So,
Absolutely. Yep. If you don't have money, give them your energy.
yeah. And I think totally off the topic of the election, but just as devastating. I just want to say that losing Leonard Cohen the day after the election is probably one of the cruelest blows I could not have imagined. God, it just took a really horrible week and made it incredibly shitty as well.
But
Yeah.
you know what? This is the way it's gonna be, right?
Right, we're
We're
getting
all
old and
just
our
gonna.
heroes are dying.
Time for some new heroes.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say that for people who are Leonard Cohen fans or people who maybe have never stuck their feet into the waters, his new album, You Want It Darker, is incredible and so timely given what we're going through. So I would really encourage people to take a listen to that. I know Todd's going to set us up with some music from that was written by Mose Allison at the end of this episode.
No, I think this is where we wrap it up, and we say once again, we love all of you guys, and thank you all very much for listening. We hope that you'll tell your friends, maybe not your family, because you may not agree with them, but hopefully you'll tell your friends. Let's get the word out. We're going to be working on getting on Stitcher here shortly. And for all you people who are like, well, aren't you in technology and you should know all this shit? Yeah, I do different things, but still figuring out a lot of this stuff. We're looking at live streaming here in the near future, so maybe you guys can all listen to us as we're doing this crazy shit.
And that is definitely up Todd's alley and not mine. So I will happily participate, but it's up to him to figure that
So yeah, thanks again to everybody for listening. We will talk to you guys in just a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot.
And I just want to say thanks. And since we opened with Neil Gaiman, I won't burden you with closing with him, but look for some further exploration of Good Omens because now we're all working to prevent the apocalypse together.
Right, I think we should change it. This conversation rocks, brought to you by Azrafel and Crowley.
I like that.
I do too.
All
All right, good
right.
night, people.
Good
Good
night.
night.
'Cause all the money. And a young man ain't got nothing in the world to say. Yeah, he's a